esto.
Oh, ¡qué calor! Pero sabemos un sitio donde vas a estar muy fresquito y además vas a poder refrescar tu inglés. Llega el momento de mejorar tu inglés con nuestros intensivos Summer Impact, porque el verano es muy largo y tu lista de tareas pendientes también. Por eso, este verano, tacha de una vez por todas a aprender inglés, porque si te apuntas a Summer Impact conseguirás tener la agilidad y la comprensión oral que siempre has deseado tener. De este verano no puede pasar.
A ver, los dientes están, la ducha también, los oídos. ¡Ah, no, lo olvidaba! Audispray. Por la mañana, acuérdate. Audispray, una solución natural a base de agua de mar que limpia y protege tus oídos con total suavidad. Audispray, vendido en farmacias.
Y también Audispray Junior.
Audispray te ofrece este programa.
Audispray. A menudo limpiamos el interior de nuestros oídos con un bastoncillo de algodón. ¿Pero sabías que solo debes utilizarlo por fuera del oído, ya que si no empuja la cera hacia el tímpano? Entonces, usa Audispray. Por la mañana un pss de Audispray en cada oído. Audispray, un spray natural a base de agua de mar que limpia tus oídos con total suavidad. Audispray, un producto para los oídos de toda la familia. Vendido en farmacias.
Y también Audispray Junior.
Welcome to Tea Time Teacher.
Hello and welcome to Tea Time Teacher. You have arrived at Vaughan Radio 100.4 FM here in Madrid, or you can catch us online, vaughanradio.com or grupovaughan.com. Welcome, guys, to Tea Time Teacher, this wonderful sunny Monday. I'm Keelan, yet you guys know me. I am your radio presenter for the next hour. And what will we be doing in the next hour? Well, ask me what we'll be doing, Keelan. We'll be doing what we always do, 100% English. Yes, we've got an hour of English teaching and English learning for you guys, where we'll practice some of the most common mistakes, some of the best and most important grammar points, and a lot of vocabulary and expressions. Now, as you know, I'll warm up what we've done before. Warm up, get ready, practice, or review everything we did on the last show. And I'll also review everything we do on this show at the end, just so you don't miss anything. I don't want you guys to miss anything, lose out, to miss, to forget anything. Okay, not to lose, to lose out, same as miss. So what have you guys been up to? Well, you can tell me on Twitter. That's right, I would love to hear from you. I'm on Twitter, at I'm Keelan. That's the at symbol, I'm Keelan. That's how you spell my name. Well, Herman, where were we? What was I talking about? Ah, yes, it was the warm-up.
The warm-up.
Thank you, Herman. And here we go with the warm-up. I'm about to start exercising. I've had a student say this to me a few weeks ago. Warm-up is for the gym, but it can also mean for your brain. We're warming up your mental gymnastics, okay? Those muscles in your brain that are working. So on the last show, can you remember what we learned? Well, of course, we had some grammar, and we were talking about the verb to ask, okay? And this can be a little bit tricky for people because you've got different words in Spanish, like pedir, preguntar, solicitar. In English, use ask for questions. It's as simple as that. Now, the only tricky thing is, tricky, difficult, tricky, not easy, is that when you have a direct object afterwards, to ask something. No, that's to ask a question. To ask for something, when you have an indirect object, okay? So to ask for the bill in a restaurant, for example, to ask for a person, I'm asking for the boss, okay? Now, we can have solicitar, translates more as ask plus the verb, okay? So I asked to go to the seaside with my family. With my family. We were all going on holiday. She asked to be considered for a job. She wants to be considered for a job. She asked to be considered. So to be is the verb there. Got it? Good. We had our common mistake, and that was the difference with the preposition when used with been. For example, been in and been to. Well, listeners, I've been to the U.S. Yep, I've been to the United States. Have you been to the United States? I hope you have. It's a lot of fun in the United States. So we can say in for countries when we're talking about them in general. But when you want to visit them or you have visited them, I have been to the United States. Now, in is more the idea when you're inside something. I've been in a sports car with David Hasselhoff. Yep, that's right. Mr. Baywatch. I've been in a sports car with him. I've also been in a lot of trouble with my parents. When I was younger, I was always in trouble with my parents. Okay, so in trouble, in something, in a box, in a car. But when you visited a place, I've been to the U.S. I've been to that office. It was very smelly, the hacienda, okay, the Social Security office. I've been to the office. I've been to the United States. Our expressions, on the last show, we had a nice expression, for good. So, for example, like the Take That song, I want you back for good. All right? So that means forever. That's right. It implies it's the last time you do something. I'm finishing the show for good. Yeah, it's my last Tea Time Teacher. Don't worry, that's a lie. I'll be here next week, don't worry. But if something is complete, it's the last time you're doing it, it's forever. It's finalizing it, finishing it. Now, it has the word good, but it can also mean a bad thing, okay? For example, we broke up for good. Okay, yes, we broke up 1 week, and next week we got back together. But now he's my ex-boyfriend. We broke up for good. We will never be a couple again. So we broke up for good, okay? That means forever. Our native corner on the last show was really exciting. Do you remember? We had one of my favorite material guys. We had Victor Sanabria, and he was here to speak Spanglish with us. Yes, he was explaining that he, as a New Yorker, he grew up with in a very different cultural backgrounds, okay? There's people from all different backgrounds, different cultures. Okay, we say background for maybe where your parents are from or where your ancestors, your families are from. And he has a fantastic New York accent. We loved his accent. And we spoke in English and accent about his new book. That's right, Victor Sanabria has a new book called Inglés para Viajar. I personally find this very useful because, as my listeners know, I love holidays. Yep, who doesn't love going on holidays? So I find this book, English for Traveling, so Inglés para Viajar, very useful. Okay, notice when I translate that, it was Inglés para Viajar, so using the infinitive verb, but in English it sounds better to say English for Traveling. We use the gerund, okay, it sounds much better. So the book, it tells you how to behave, okay, how to act, what language to use in everyday situations, so very normal situations that might occur when you travel abroad, when you go overseas, okay, when you go to the US or maybe you go to England or Australia. If you're lucky enough to go to these wonderful places, this book is excellent because it's got a lot of translations in it. And in verbs, we practice some travel English with the verb to wish. So I wish I could travel every week. Yeah, I wish I could go to the airport and catch a flight, to go get on a plane, to catch a flight every week. And we used it a lot. It's used to express a good experience, all right, or regret. I wish I could have stayed longer in Florida. I wish I had bought more souvenirs, okay? So using the past perfect. I wish I had bought more souvenirs. I wish I hadn't eaten the fish curry, because now I don't feel very well. You know, sometimes you get a dicky tummy. You've got an upset stomach sometimes when you eat strange food. All right, guys, that was our warm-up. Do you think we need to cool down yet? No, we don't, but we do need to move on to our verbs.
Verbs, verbs, verbs.
Verbs of the day. Well, I've only got one for you. Verbs, verbs, verbs. Well, every sentence we use has a verb in it. So I'm going to practice as I have been. A few weeks ago, we had want, like, and these are very, very common verbs. I want you to use them properly. I want you to like them. All right. Today we have to know. To know. Does everyone know how to spell know? N-O? That's right. But it is a homophone. So it's the same word that has the same sound, but two different spellings and two different meanings. So to know as a verb is K-N-O-W. Yep, like a lot of words in English, it has unnecessary extra letters, you could say. So the K is silent. It is a silent K at the start. K-N-O-W, to know, all right? And a W at the end. So it's one of the best known English verbs. And it is one of the most useful as well. We can use it in many, many different ways, okay? And as English learners, you use it a lot. For example, I bet you said, I don't know, to a lot of questions that you've had in English, all right? If you haven't understood, you say, I don't know. So that's no in the negative. I want you to say, I know, to all of the questions you were asked in English. Okay, let's start with an easy one. You have a friend and you want to explain that your knowledge of this person. You say, I know, for example, John. I know John. We met last year. Okay, I know him. Now, it can be a little bit difficult to translate in Spanish because that can mean two different things, okay? Yes, I met him last year. So we said, hello, what is your name? My name is John. Oh, nice to meet you. So we shook hands. Now, I know him. So I met him last year, but now I know him. Does everyone understand the difference? Be careful con hacer in English. I know him. I have knowledge of him. He is my friend. I know where he lives. I know his name. He is my friend on Facebook. I know him. Okay? Maybe he's not a friend. He is an associate. Okay? An acquaintance is another way of saying it. But I know John. How do you know John? We met last year. Or we are Facebook friends. Yeah, I know John. I know that his surname. I know he has a sister. I know him. Okay? You would rarely say, I know my father. Because of course you know your father. I know my sister. When saying that, depending on the context, it's more, I know their personality. I know what he's like. I know my father. He's going to want to have dinner at 6 o'clock. He always eats at 6 o'clock. I know him. I have knowledge of him. I understand him. Okay? And using that team, for example, another example, my brother doesn't know anything about life. What am I saying there? My brother doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything about life. It's not a very nice sentence because I'm calling my brother a little bit stupid or that he doesn't understand the ways of the world or life very well. My brother doesn't know anything about life. He doesn't know how to live. My brother doesn't know anything. Okay? We got that? So I know my father. I know John. We met last year. I know him. I know John. But I don't know his sister. I have never met her. I don't know what she looks like. And I don't know her personality. I don't know her. Okay? What about a place? We've been talking about people. It takes a long time to get to know London. All right? You're not going to meet London. Hello, London. How are you? Shake hands with London. No. When we say to get to know London, that you have experience in a city. You know the transport. You know the restaurants. You know the weather. Okay? You know how to get from A to B. Okay? It took me a long time to get to know London. I've visited many times. And the first time, I didn't know London. I didn't know where to buy a metro ticket. I didn't know that in London, they don't say metro, they say tube or underground. So I didn't know where to buy a tube ticket, not a metro ticket, a tube ticket. It took me a long time to get to know London. So now I know London. I have experience of the city. I know London. London and I are best friends. Yeah, I can say that. We are best friends. All right, another example. Do you know where the party is? Well, I always know where the party is. It's one of my many good personality traits, okay? Do you know where the party is? So there's a party on tonight, and we want to know the location. That's right, guys. Somebody has said, John said, there is a party tonight. Do you know where the party is? Well, follow the crowd. They know where the party is. Okay, Mary always knows where the party is. Any more examples? Can you guys give me an example? I know you're on Twitter. Send me a message with your examples of no. For example, do you know who's presenting the next show? I think I know. From experience, I know it's going to be Mr. Kyle Miller. I know that from experience because I know Kyle and he works on Mondays. Okay. Any more examples? You can tell me on Twitter, remember. Now, at the start of the show, we practice the verb wish. We can add that with no. I wish, now I have to use past, remember, because wish is with regret. I wish I knew how to work the sound studio. I wish I knew how to work in the sound studio. You know where the sound engineers work, where Tino and Nacho and the rest of the guys work? I wish I knew how the studio works, but I don't. I don't know how to twist and turn all the knobs. I don't know how to, but I wish I knew. Okay, guys, is enough examples there? I hope so. Remember, if you've any more examples or if you want me to explain anything more, on Twitter, at I'm Keelan, and I'll give you guys a hand. I will help you. I will give you a hand. But let's move on now, guys. What have we next? I think we've got some vocabulary.
Vocabulary.
Vocabulary of today. Well, I gave you a little clue, or a hint on Twitter. I wanted to know what foods you like. What kind of foods do you guys like? Well, what kind of foods do you find yummy? Yummy? What does yummy mean, Keelan? Okay, today I want to discuss, instead of using the words good and bad to describe food, because food is something that is involved in our lives very much, at least three times a day. And when people are learning a language, they learn how to say good and they learn how to say bad. Okay. For example, I had a very good steak on Saturday night. Yeah, I was at a wedding, a really nice wedding here in Madrid. And they served, okay, for the main course, not the second plate, for the main course, they served steak, a fillet steak, and it was really good. Really, really good. I'm not expressing how good it is, though. I want to tell you exactly what it tastes like. I want to tell you that it was delicious. Everyone knows that word, delicious, of course. It was mouth-watering. That is one word, mouth-watering. Can you understand what I'm saying there? Mouth-watering. So my mouth was watering. You know when you smell something delicious and you're really hungry. In the morning, you walk past the bakery and you can smell the bread being cooked, being baked in the oven. And it's mouth-watering. Well, that's what it was like. The steak was mouth-watering when I could smell it. Oh, it was yummy. Is that word again? Yummy is, it's a little bit of an adolescent word. So it's more for kids. Yummy is quite a kid's word. But adults can say it just as much. The steak was yummy. We can use the word amazing too, but amazing doesn't always describe food. Amazing, fantastic, superb. They don't always describe food though. So the words, the positive words to describe food. What have I said so far? Delicious, yummy, and mouth-watering. You know I think everybody has probably been to a certain chicken, fast food chicken place, okay, maybe from Kentucky. You know what I'm talking about. Starts with a K. And they say, their advertisement says that they are finger-licking good. Finger-licking good. That's a good expression in English because the food is so good that you want to actually lick the rest of the flavor off your hands. There's another great word, flavor. Something can be flavorsome. Is that complicated? Food can be flavorsome. It has a lot of flavor, okay? Well, you eat food when you're hungry. All right, and when you stop eating, you are full, or another word is satisfied. So food can be satisfying, absolutely satisfying. Something has nice flavor, we said flavorsome, or tasty. Yep, tasty is a very good word. I want everyone to learn that. Something can be tasty, okay? Steak on Saturday night was really tasty. And then for dessert, we had some chocolate cake and chocolate ice cream. That was tasty. That was yummy. That was finger-licking good, but I didn't eat the ice cream with my fingers. I ate the cake with my fingers. A little bit rude. Okay, guys, so what are the positive words we've learned there? We've had the non-food words, which we can use for food, which are amazing, fantastic, superb, excellent as well. And then the ones you can only use for food, we can say delicious, finger-licking good, mouth-watering, satisfying, tasty, and flavorsome, okay? My favorite of them is still yummy, because yummy, it's a cute word, and it's very easy to learn. Yummy, starts with a Y, yummy, yummy, in my tummy. And it rhymes with tummy, another word for stomach. Now, this is where it gets negative. What about the horrible words? Well, horrible can be used to describe what? Tell me some foods that you don't like. For example, I hate Brussels sprouts. Type of very small cabbage. Sprouts, okay, which means to grow, to sprout, from Brussels. Brussels sprouts, I think they are horrible, okay? They're horrible or disgusting. Or another very adolescent word you can say is yucky. Yucky is the opposite of yummy. Something you like is yummy, and something you don't like is yucky. That's right, kids use it a lot. Opposite of flavorsome would be flavorless or tasteless, okay? For example, pasta or rice with no sauce, okay, or no salt, it can be tasteless or flavorless. And one last word, if something smells bad, you can say it's rank, or A-N-K. It is rank when it smells really bad. All right, we can practice those words at the end of the show when we do our review, but I want to have one more chat with you guys, this time about expressions.
Expression.
Let's run through our expressions. No, I'm not running. I cannot run in the studio. It's too small. Let's run through. Okay, so we'll talk about our expressions quickly. Yeah, you guys have to keep up. Well, they're related to what we spoke about at the beginning and on the last show. Remember when Victor and I discussed the verb to wish? Yeah, we wish we hadn't eaten the fish curry because it was rank and it was flavorless and disgusting. Okay, it wasn't yummy at all. Well, I want to use expressions with wish, especially to make a wish. All right. How do you don't do a wish, you make a wish. It's to bring luck. We make a wish for something that we desire, something you really want. Now, when do you make a wish? Well, when was it your birthday? Can you remember the last time it was your birthday? I know it was Tino's birthday, maybe about a month ago. And he had a big cake with lots of candles. There was about 45 candles on Tino's cake. Yeah, lots of candles, one for every year. Okay, maybe a little bit fewer than 45. Well, we asked Tino to blow out the candles on the cake and to make a wish so that what he wished for would come true. So he wanted something in life. Maybe he wanted more money, or maybe he wanted good health for himself and his family, or maybe he just wanted a big chocolate cake. Yeah, well, he had it in front of him. He made a wish, to make a wish when you blow out the candles. What other situations do you have where you make a wish? Maybe a superstition from your country or in your family. For example, in my family, whenever you find a certain bone when you're eating a roast chicken or a turkey, it's called the wishbone. and it is a V shape, V for Vaughan. It is a V shape bone, and that you have to pull it apart. It's very hard to describe this. Maybe I'll post a picture on Twitter. Okay. It's called the wishbone because you pull the bones apart and the person who gets the biggest piece has to make a wish. They get the luck. Or have you been to a well? A well? Yeah, where there's water down the bottom. A lot of people, they throw a penny down the well and make a wish to bring them good luck. Okay, so when you throw a penny or a cent down a well, you make a wish. Any other examples? Tell me on Twitter, at I'm Kieran. Tell me if you have any other superstitions or examples of when you make a wish. For example, when an eyelash falls out from your eye, you need to make a wish, okay? All right, that's enough for the moment. I think it's time for us to take a break, but I'll be back here in 5 minutes with more Tea Time Teacher.
¿Necesitas mejorar tu inglés de una manera rápida y efectiva este verano? Apúntate a los Summer Impacts. Más información en grupobaugan.com o en el 911335831.
¿Solo con escuchar la palabra inglés te entra pánico? Ha llegado el momento de perder el miedo a hablar en inglés. Ven a Baugantown y sumérgete durante 6 días en el inglés con voluntarios angloparlantes de distintos puntos del planeta y que te ayudarán a superar tus barreras con el idioma, consiguiendo la fluidez y la naturalidad que siempre has soñado. Es la oportunidad perfecta para decir adiós a tus miedos. Te esperamos en Baugantown. Llámanos al 911335831.
Me licencié hace 4 años en la universidad. Al año hice un máster, después otro. Además estoy acabando el doctorado, pero ayer no pasé un proceso de selección por no saber inglés.
¿Te suena esta historia? Ocurre todos los días. El inglés es fundamental para progresar en tu vida laboral en todos los sectores. ¿A qué esperas para aprender inglés de una vez por todas?
Máster en inglés profesional Vaughan, tu solución definitiva.
Campamentos de inglés sin salir de España. Tus hijos hablarán inglés divirtiéndose, siempre acompañados de nuestros monitores Vaughan. Realizarán talleres, actividades, veladas nocturnas y todo ello en inglés. Infórmate sobre nuestros campamentos de verano en el teléfono 91-133-5832.
Este verano es el momento perfecto para que tu empresa se ponga a tono con el inglés. Los cursos intensivos semanales de 20 horas IMPACT en empresas son la respuesta. Pero escucha, ahora os lo ponemos más fácil. Nuestros profesores Vaughan se trasladarán a vuestras instalaciones para que podáis realizar estos cursos intensivos en vuestras oficinas. Más información en el 911335831.
Ay, casi te hiciste ese corte de pelo. Casi, casi te bañaste desnudo en el mar. Casi, casi, casi saltaste en parapente. Casi, casi, casi te fuiste a vivir a Nueva York. Si casi, 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 casi hiciste algo, es que realmente no lo hiciste.
Así que atrévete, acelera y llévate un clase A 180 CDI por solo 23.100 euros financiando con Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Consulta condiciones en tu concesionario oficial Mercedes-Benz. Oferta válida hasta el 30 de junio.
Ven y pruébalo en ITRA. Concesionario oficial Mercedes-Benz, calle Pradillo 19.
A menudo limpiamos el interior de nuestros oídos con un bastoncillo de algodón, pero ¿sabías que solo debes utilizarlo por fuera del oído, ya que si no empuja la cera hacia el tímpano? Entonces, usa Audispray. Por la mañana un pss de Audispray en cada oído. Audispray, un spray natural a base de agua de mar que limpia tus oídos con total suavidad. Audispray, un producto para los oídos de toda la familia. vendido en farmacias.
Y también Odyssey Junior.
Kinépolis se llena de orgullo y satisfacción al presentar...
Kinépolis se llena de pride and satisfaction al presentar...
Versión original todos los días.
Todos los days.
Todas tus pelis favoritas en versión original.
Todas las movies.
Y los martes, más películas y más sesiones.
Y los martes, more and more and more.
Toda la información en kinépolis.es.
All the information on kinépolis.es.
Si necesitas mejorar tu inglés de una manera rápida y efectiva este verano, apúntate a los Summer Impact, un curso de inglés intensivo con el que mejorarás tu comprensión y agilidad oral en un tiempo récord. Eso es lo que buscas, ¿verdad? Pues no lo dudes y apúntate a los Summer Impact. Haremos hincapié en la construcción de frases. Realizaremos continuas preguntas y respuestas, siempre con el método Vaughan. Con Summer Impact verás rápidamente cómo mejoras con el inglés. Más información en grupovaughan.com o en el 91-133-5831.
Welcome back, Tea Time Teacher listeners, Tea Time Teacher fans, Tea Time Teacher fantastic listeners. I'm Keelan. Well, I haven't changed. I'm still Keelan here on your Monday radio, on Vaughan Radio, to bring you another half an hour of English learning. What have we learned so far? Well, we've had some verbs. We've had to know. Do you know the verbs we've been talking about? We've had some vocabulary to describe food. We've had some expressions, but I have another few things coming up. Remember, if you want to contact me, I'll give you some examples on Twitter, at I'm Keelan. I would love to hear from you. But coming up next now, have we got some phrasal verbs, Herman? I hope so. Yep, we've got phrasal verbs.
Now let's look at today's phrasal verb.
Phrasal verbs. This is where things get interesting. That's right. It's your favorite part of the show, phrasal verbs. I've only got two for you today, and that's the easy part. And the first phrasal verb is quite easy. Okay, to pick. What does to pick mean? Well, to select. Now, to pick up, what does that mean? This is an easy one. One of the most simple phrasal verbs, one of the first phrasal verbs you probably learned, to pick up, because it's very useful. The most common example is with your hands. You pick up an item. Ask me to pick up the pen. What am I doing? You are picking up the pen, or you're picking the pen up. That's right. It's separable. You can use the object within the phrasal verb, or you can use it apart from the phrasal verb. Okay? So to pick up. Well, what have you picked up today? I picked up a pen. I also picked up my mobile phone. And later on, I'm going to pick up a cup of tea from the kitchen. Okay. Or I picked up a cup of coffee on the way to work. To select. All right. To pick up. Now, we've got loads of phrasal verbs, remember, with pick. So don't get too complicated. What pick up is to take with your hand or your body part. But it can also mean to collect or to gather. So I picked up all of the pebbles. Pebbles are small stones. I picked up all of the pebbles on the beach. I picked the pebbles up. All right. You picked up all the dirty clothes that were on your bedroom floor. All right. Now, you can also pick up an infection, or you can pick up an illness. Yeah, I picked up a stomach bug from the kids. You know, kids always have germs. Yeah, it can be dangerous to go to a creche. I picked up a terrible stomach bug off the kids last week in the creche, okay? We also use it when you want to pay for something, all right? You're paying, remember we said at the start of the show, you pay a bill or a charge or a tab, okay? Let me pick up the the tab, you could say, if you're the person who wants to pay the bill. Okay, let me pick up the tab. Tab is usually an accumulation of what you've had in a restaurant or in a bar. Okay, you can also learn something very quickly. Did you pick up English quickly? I hope you picked up English quickly because it's a difficult language to learn. I didn't pick up Spanish very easily. I found Spanish difficult to pick up. I think French is easier to pick up, for example. Actually, that's not true. All right, so to pick up, okay, just to review that, is to physically to take something with your hand or with your foot maybe. You can pick up a piece of chalk with your foot. Okay, the dog picked up the bone in his mouth. But you can also collect and gather. To pick up the pebbles or the stones on the beach. To pick the dirty clothes up on your bedroom floor. So remember, it's separable. We can move it around. We can pick up a flu. You can pick up a stomach bug from children. Ooh, terrible. You can pick up a virus. Or you can pick up the tab if you want to pay the bill in the restaurant. You can pick up the tab. Now, let's get a little bit more complicated. The most important verb we're going to learn today is to pick up on something. Is this familiar? To pick up on. So it's a phrasal verb with three words. To pick up on. And you cannot separate this. To pick up on something, all right? Now, I'll give you the example, and you can tell me if you understand it. I picked up on what she was saying immediately. You understand? Well, I'll give you some background. I went to a conference, a medical conference. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I decided to listen. And they were using very complicated language. And also, it was in Spanish. It was in a different language. But I picked up on what she was talking about immediately. So I understood. That's right. I understood what they were saying. So to pick up on something, similar to pick up in the example of the language, but more in the immediate when you're speaking to someone. You need to pick up on what they're saying. For example, when you first start learning English, you don't understand every word a person is saying to you. When you have a conversation in English, maybe you understand the first word and maybe you understand the verb, but you don't really understand all of the vocabulary. But you pick up on what they are saying. You pick up on what they are saying. Yeah, you get the gist. All right, that's another expression. You understand what they are saying. You understand in the context. You pick up on what they are saying. All right, has everyone got that? Let's practice pick up again. What are the examples we had? We said you pick up something with your hand, to pick up a pen, to pick up the pebbles on the beach, to pick the pebbles up. You can pick up a virus. I picked up a terrible virus. I picked up a stomach flu. We also said you can to acquire knowledge of something. Did you pick up English quickly? Or did you find English difficult to pick up? Now, to pick up on is similar to that, but it's in the immediate. It's happening right now. I was having a conversation with a girl, and she didn't speak very good English, but I picked up on what she was saying. She was using her hands, using hand gestures, okay, and she was smiling a lot. I knew she was happy, so I picked up on what she was saying. Okay, guys, they are our phrasal verbs. Remember, we will practice them again at the end of the show. Any questions, tell me on Twitter, at I'm Keelan. But let's move on now to our grammar section.
It's time for grammar.
Our grammar section introduced there by the lovely, sweet voice of Kyle Miller, who is coming up next, isn't he? I haven't seen Kyle in a long time. I hope I get to see him. I wish he would come to the studio earlier so I could get to see him. Okay? Wish. Use it in the past. Okay, our grammar today is very, very, very simple. Yeah, I'm going easy on you guys. We're just going to talk about the preposition. We're going to talk about the article the. T-H-E. Or the, you could say, depending on how you use the pronunciation of it. But the, T-H-E. Now, where I come from, we don't pronounce the T-H very well. It's more de. But I want you guys learning English correctly, and it's pronounced the. Excellent. T-H-E. The. Your tongue is right there at the top of your teeth. The. Kind of like the Z, the Zeta in Spanish. Okay? In Spanish. Now, when we talk about things in general in English, we do not use the article the most of the time. Of course, there are exceptions to the rule. But for example, in Spanish, you might say la cerveza. We don't really in English. We just say beer. That's right, guys. Beer and water and air. Things that are in general, especially uncountable, we don't use the article the. It's not very common. For example, I like beer. It's a statement. It's in the present simple and it's in general. I like beer. She doesn't like beer. She likes champagne. Doesn't sound right if she says she likes the champagne. If I said she likes the champagne, she likes the cava. Which cava? It's when we use the article the, you have something in particular in mind. I like the beer that we had yesterday. Yep, I liked the craft beer that we had yesterday in the pub on Gran Vía, okay, in the pub on Main Street. I liked the beer we had yesterday. If you say I like the beer, it's very general. It means you're going to say something else in the sentence. But if you want to use the statement in general, I like beer. Yep, that's a fantastic statement. Here's another general statement. You tell me if you agree or if you disagree. All right, if you agree or not. Men don't understand women. Do you agree or disagree? Is it true or false? Men don't understand women. Well, I think some men don't understand some women. Women sometimes don't understand women. Sometimes men don't understand men. Well, whatever your opinion is, don't use the if you're using it as a general statement. The men don't understand their women sounds very strange. Men don't understand women. You know the famous book? Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Women are from Venus and men are from Mars. We don't say the men are from Mars. Which men? The men from Cordoba eat a lot of salmorejo, for example. That's particular men. I'm thinking of all of the men from Cordoba, okay? But men in general, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Men don't understand women. Very general, what I'm saying here. Now, this is not my opinion, okay? I'm just telling you what it is, all right? Here's another very general statement. In general, Spaniards or Spanish people like going to the beach, okay? So Spaniards like going to the people. In general, Englishmen don't like rain. Is that true? Well, they get a lot of rain in England. Englishmen don't like rain. Women like getting flowers. Women like receiving flowers. Now, I'm generalizing, remember. Not every woman likes flowers. Maybe some women are allergic to them. But I didn't say the women like getting flowers. Okay? And let me give you some of the examples where we can use that. For example, none of the men I know understand women. This is just a line. It's not my opinion. None of the men I know understand women. That's not true. Some of the men I know understand women. But none, remember singular, none of the men I know understands women. All right. The Spaniards I met in Madrid like going to the beach. Maybe because they don't have a beach. So the Spaniards I met in Madrid, they like going to the beach. So I'm not saying every Spanish person, not saying every Spaniard likes going to the beach. But the Spaniards I met in Madrid, they like going to the beach. Okay? All the women in my family like getting flowers. Yeah, my mother and my sisters and my niece as well. She likes receiving flowers. She likes getting flowers. So all the women in my family like getting flowers. Okay, so there are examples. Men don't understand women, but when we want to use the, none of the men I know understand women. None of the men. Sometimes when we want to, this is a little trick, okay? When we want to emphasize the article, we say the instead of the. So the Spaniards I met in Madrid like going to the beach, but if I want to emphasize the Spaniards I met, often it's an E sound instead of the E sound, instead of the schwa sound. Okay? So men don't understand women. Not the men don't understand women. Men don't understand women. Maybe women don't understand men. Yeah? We turn it the other way around. Perhaps. Maybe. Perhaps. Okay. None of the men I know understand women. Or some of the men I know understand women. All of the women in my family like getting flowers. But in general, women like getting flowers. All right, you guys get the point, all right? De is used in general. We don't use it in general. We say beer, air, water, men, women. But we're talking, you think of specific people. For example, the men I know who understand women, the Spaniards I know in Madrid like going to the beach, and the women in my family like getting flowers. That is when we use the article de. All right. We're going to practice that again. Don't worry, we'll practice it again. But we've got another section coming up. A little bit of action. It is English in Action. Well, our English in Action has a lot of action today. You want to know why? Because we're talking about extreme sports, which is also known as action sports, you could say, or adventure sports, adventurous sports. So what are extreme sports? Well, I really like the words extreme. It's got an X in it. And it's something that became popular in my mind, in my memory, something that became popular maybe in the last 20 years. Now, I know people have been doing dangerous or risky or adventurous sports for a long time. But the term adventure or extreme sports is only maybe in the last 20, maybe 25 years. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. But the popular way of saying that certain sports or even activities, we don't have to use sport in this way, that have a high level, a lot of maybe risk or danger. This isn't like going for a walk. It's like going for a walk up the side of a building. Yep, that is an adventure sports. So they involve speed or height or a lot of physical action, a lot of physical exertion, you can say, and maybe some specialized clothes or specialized gear, we say. Gear is the type of clothes or the type of equipment you might use. All right. Does any of my listeners, do any of you guys, do you practice or do you do any extreme sports? Well, there are many different types of extreme sports. Want me to give you an example? For example, snowboarding. All right. It's a mild, okay, and maybe an easy extreme sport. But to me, it can be very dangerous. You are on one piece of board, okay, one piece of wood or plastic, and you're going down the side of a mountain in snow, in cold and maybe dangerous conditions. To me, that is an extreme sport. What other examples have we got? Well, mountain climbing or rock climbing. So people are scaling, another way of saying climbing, up or down. Well, a down is abseiling, up is rock or mountain climbing, at the side of a mountain. What do you call the side of a mountain? Maybe a cliff. A cliff is when it is straight down, maybe into the sea or just off the side of a mountain. Mountain or rock climbing is an extreme sport. Yep. Motorsports. They're definitely an extreme sport. Or bikes. Okay, so motorsports. What do I mean by that? Car racing, or what we have in Ireland is called, I think it's called motocross, where people drive on a track. A track is the path. In very fast cars. Formula One. We don't say F1 in English. Formula One is an extreme sport. Well, yeah, they wear helmets, but it's still very, very dangerous. So the key word said that it's risky, that it's dangerous. But and what people get from these extreme sports is adrenaline. That's the hormone that's in your body when you take part in these extreme sports. Any other examples? Well, I know a common one that people maybe try once or twice is bungee jumping. What is bungee jumping? That's when you tie yourself to a rope or somebody helps you, an elastic rope, and you jump off a bridge. Yep. How dangerous is that? I think that is definitely an extreme sport or an adventure sport. And you definitely get a rush of adrenaline. Okay, so we say a rush of adrenaline when you have adrenaline in your blood. Another common one. All right, popular people, is skydiving. You're diving. Ever know diving? When you jump into a swimming pool, for example, with your head first. not throwing your head, diving. Well, skydiving is when you do this from an aeroplane. Yeah, you jump out of a plane. Who would voluntarily jump out of an aeroplane? Well, you do have a parachute. Yes, that is that thing that inflates when you jump out of an aeroplane. Otherwise, you would hit the ground, but it brings you softly to the ground. That is definitely an extreme sport. Now, you can do that alone or with someone on beside you, an expert, or they say in tandem, tandem meaning two people. What do you think of these people who take part, who do extreme sports? Are these people crazy? Are they mad? Are they mental? Now, listeners, do any of you do any extreme sports? If you do, I hope that you take care. Or do you play it safe? Do you like to play it safe? Do you do more regular sports like football or walking or running or the gym? Or do you prefer the extreme sports? Well, do you have any opinion on extreme sports? Yep, you can tell me on Twitter at I'm Keelan. I know the guys in the studio are crazy. Yeah, they're a little bit loco. They are crazy guys. They bungee jump in the studio. No, they don't. They need a big bridge for it. But if you can think of any more extreme sports, you can tell me on Twitter at I'm Keelan. Oof, I'm getting adrenaline just thinking about it. All right, enough of that. It's getting too warm in here thinking about it. Let's start with our review.
It's time to review.
Oof, things got a little bit crazy there. Everybody calm down. I don't want anyone jumping off any bridges. Or, as Yolanda has very helpfully told me on Twitter, puenting. Yeah, we puenting. A little bit of a mix of Spanish and English there. A little bit of Spanglish. Okay, now to review what we've done today, we had one of the most common verbs, very useful, to know, and the verb is to know. Can you remember how to spell it? K-N-O-W. Yes, I know that you can spell to know. K-N-O-W. So remember, if you keep listening to Tea Time Teacher, Dun Vaughan Radio, you won't say, I don't know anymore. You will know everything. All right, so to know, it's in Spanish, you'd use it for conocer and saber. Okay, so I know John. I met him last year. Yeah. But my brother, he doesn't know anything about life. So I know his personality. He doesn't know anything. I don't trust his knowledge of things. And what about places? Well, I know London because I've been there many times, but it took me a long time to get to know London. And also for location, do you know where the party is? Do you know where the party is? Of course you know where the party is. You are a crazy man. Our vocab was yummy. Yeah, we were describing lots of food. The steak I had last week was delicious. It was fantastic. It was finger-licking good, just like KFC. It was mouth-watering. Well, you all know I love cheese, and cheese I find very satisfying for a snack. It's tasty and yummy. Remember, yummy is quite a childhood word, okay, a childish word, but adults can use it. I think it's very descriptive, yummy. And the opposite, yucky, yeah, when something's disgusting or horrible, or it has no flavor, it's flavorless or tasteless. And if something smells bad, ooh, it's rank. It smells rank. Our expressions, well, we had discussed the verb to wish, and we were making wishes. Yeah, we had, I've put it on Twitter now so you can see what I mean by the wishbone. It's just an example of when we make a wish. When you blow out the candles on your birthday cake, you make a wish. I wish I had all the money in the world. But you're not allowed to tell anybody because then you won't get your wish. You won't get your wish. So you make a wish also when you find the wishbone in the chicken or the turkey, when you roast chicken or turkey, and you pull it apart and the person who gets the biggest piece gets to make a wish. Or when you throw a penny in a well, throw a little coin in a well to make a wish. Our phrasal verbs of the week were just two easy ones and very similar. To pick up, and to pick up a pen, to pick up the stones, to pick the stones on the beach up so we can separate, to pick the pen up. Asked me to pick the pen up. He asked me to pick the pen up. What did I do? I picked the pen up. I also picked up Spanish very easily. So you can pick up a language, you mean to learn it. okay, to acquire knowledge. And you can pick up a virus as well. You can pick up a flu to get an infection. Now, another phrase of the verb, moving on from that, was to pick up on something. So to realize or to understand something. So she didn't speak very good English, but I picked up on what she was saying. Okay, I understand it. I got the context. I picked up on what she was saying. She was hinting at something. So I picked up on what she was hinting at. I picked up on what she was saying. Our grammar of the week was very easy. It was talking about the article the and when to use that and when not to use that. When we're speaking in general, remember, present simple. I like beer. Herman does not like beer. He doesn't like beer. He likes champagne. Yeah, he's very classy, our Herman. Our other examples were men don't understand women. Do you agree or disagree? All right, well, the men I know, they understand women. So we use the when we're talking in particular about a group of people you know. The Spaniards I've met in Madrid, they like going to the beach. But in general, they say Spaniards like going to the beach. Don't use the Spaniards unless, don't use the, when you have a particular person in mind. Women like getting flowers in general. Well, everyone likes getting flowers. But the women in my family, they love getting flowers. And finally, we discussed our extreme sports. If you have any examples of extreme sports, please take care and remember to take out insurance, because motorsports and snowboarding and rock climbing, they are very, very dangerous. All right, guys, thank you for joining me today on Tea Time Teacher. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And you can find me here on Vaughan Radio next week, Mondays at 5:30, bringing you an hour of English. If you have anything else to add, if anything you want to practice next week, you can find me on Twitter at I'm Keelan. Next up is Kyle Miller. Yeah, Drive Time is coming up next. And I'm off for a cup of tea, I think. Woof, getting thirsty now. All right, guys, I'll talk to you all next week on Tea Time Teacher. Bye-bye.